If you're standing believing God for this breakthrough in your life and it looks like it's not going to happen, do not run from God, run to Him. Do not run from the Word, run to the Word.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Jeremy Pearsons and Jerry Savelle as they bring good news to the body of Christ. When you face challenges, tests, and trials, God is waiting with open arms to give comfort and counsel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Pearsons. I'm in all this week for my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and we're thrilled and honored to be in your home or wherever it is you're watching us today. I'm excited that you're a part of these broadcasts. And we are joined once again by Dr. Jerry Savelle, and we are excited about the message that he has been bringing to us. And I won't take a lot of time today to recap. We've been doing that. But if you haven't been a part of these broadcasts yet, do what it takes to go back, get caught up, and then listen to this today, because we launched into something yesterday. Brother Jerry, you were talking to us out of your book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. You're talking to us about what to do in the middle of it all. Mm-hmm. And it's one, we have to be very watchful over how we communicate this to people, because they hear you preach and you're saying, I've been doing this 40 years, but they sat there and heard a message and said, I'm going to try that tonight. Yeah. And when tomorrow doesn't feel any mm-hmm. different, tend to throw in the towel and they do what we've been talking about, running away, quitting. But when you're ready, like Hebrews talks about, to not throw away your confidence, you have mm-hmm. need of endurance, is what the writer said. When you're ready to endure, the way Jesus did, Hebrews chapter 12, he endured the cross, despising mm-hmm. the shame for the joy that was set before him. When we're ready to do that, Then what comes next is, okay, I'm in that place, Lord. I'm ready to endure. I'm not throwing away my confidence. What would you have me do while I'm right here? Mm-hmm. And yesterday you introduced to us two things that we can do. And you've got a list, and these things can be found in your book. But the first two things, what? Get into the presence of God.
Right. Get into God's presence.
Absolutely. That there's fullness of joy there. There's hope there. There's strength there. And then number two, crave God more. And you can, if you feel like you need to go back in over any of that.
Going back to getting into God's presence, we have to understand that in God's presence, you're talking about a presence of faith as well. Mm-hmm. In Satan's presence, you're talking about a presence of fear.
It's true.
So in God's presence, there's faith, there's power, there's joy, there's peace. In the presence of Satan, you're talking about fear, you're talking about condemnation, discouragement. And obviously, while you're waiting for this victory in this battle you're going through, the arena that you want to keep yourself in is the presence of God. Because mm-hmm. if you allow yourself to stay in the presence of Satan, then this fear is going to grip you. You're going to be afraid that you're going to fail. Yeah. Condemnation is going to come in. He's going to start telling you, you're not going to be able to do this. You've never been able to persevere. What makes you think you're going to be able to do it this time? Mm-hmm. You know, the doubt, the discouragement, all those things that he brings to the table. So it's important that we get into the presence of God. We said that one of the ways that we do that is through praise and thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Another way that we do that is by praying in the Holy Ghost. And that one, I can't stress enough.
Yeah.
You know, and those of you that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you need to stop right now and ask God to give you that special manifestation of His presence, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in His Word that if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, He will give it. And I'm talking about just like in the book of Acts, where the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That is a valid New Testament experience for us today. And one of the reasons why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and one of the reasons why we need this experience of speaking with other tongues, is the Bible tells us from Paul's writings that when we pray in the Spirit, we edify ourselves.
Building ourselves.
And that word edify means to build up.
Yeah.
Edify means to energize. Praying in the Spirit does for your spirit man what dumbbells and barbells will do for your physical man.
Yeah.
Build you up. And so if you're going through this battle right now and you're believing God for the breakthrough, you're believing God for the miracle, you're believing God for the victory on the other side of this battle, then one of the ways that you can maintain your confidence and not lose heart is by getting in the presence of God. And one of the best ways to do that is through praying in the Spirit. And once again, if that has not happened to you, then I would strongly suggest that you pray right now and you ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you need help, I'm sure you can call here at the office at KCM.
Absolutely.
And somebody will pray with you. They know how to lead you into being filled with the Holy Ghost. That is vital. It is important. And I'm telling you, once this happens to you, you're going to be so glad that you have experienced the Holy Spirit in this way. So get into the presence of God. Number two, crave God more.
Yeah.
Crave God more. Don't rely on your past experiences alone, you know, in being in God's presence. Decide that you want more of God. And the way that you do that is just like you decide that you want more of anything else, you know. I know when Carol and I first started dating, Carol and I grew up together. We grew up on the same street. I've known her since she was 9 and I was 11.
Wow.
We grew up together. I went away to college for a couple of years, and while I was in college, she became a senior in high school. I came home one weekend to visit my parents, ran into Carolyn, and in 2 years, she changed. You know,
yeah.
This was not that little girl that lived down the road anymore, you know, but next thing I know, I'm attracted to her, not just as a friend I had known all of my life up to that point, but now, you know, I'm attracted to her in a way that, hey, I want to spend time with her. I want to date her, you know. So that happened, and then I went back to school, and next thing I know, man, I'm sitting in class, and I can't quit thinking about Carolyn. I want to be with Carolyn. I'm skipping classes and driving back to Shreveport so I can be with her. What's happening? I'm craving more time with her. And you know what happened, Jeremy? The more time I spent with her, I wanted more time, you know. And the next thing you know, man, I'm coming home in the middle of the week instead of on weekends, you know. And I can't get enough of her. Next thing I know, I'm falling in love with her. And obviously we got married, and that was 43 years ago. Now, the same thing happened to me where God was concerned. When your grandfather came and preached the word like I'd never heard before, introduced God to me like I'd never seen him before, and then I began to learn to spend time with God, all of a sudden, that wasn't enough time. I needed more time. I wanted more time in his presence. I began to hunger for God. I began to hunger for knowledge. I couldn't get enough. Now, that's what needs to happen right now in your life. If you're standing, believing God for this breakthrough in your life, and it looks like it's not going to happen, do not run from God, run to Him. Do not run from the Word, run to the Word. You remember what happened to you the first time you got in the presence of God, that can happen again. You know, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. This is decision number 5, rekindle your desire for the Word. But I can't help but jump ahead to that one because it's so strong in my mind right now. But I remember a time when I was going through, you know, this situation, and I'm standing between the amen and the there it is. And in the natural, it looks like nothing's working, nothing's happening. I've been standing for a long time. And you know, I'm going through my checklist here. Okay, get into the presence of God. You know, crave God more. And I'm going through this. And then I got down to number 5, and I'll give you the other ones a little later. But number 5 was rekindle your desire for the Word. Jeremy, what I did, I went back and got that first tape that I ever heard your grandfather preach, the one that changed my life. Now, this is years later. Okay, I still had that old reel-to-reel tape player. Now, by this time, We've got cassettes. You know, we haven't advanced to CDs yet, but we got cassettes. But I still had that old reel-to-reel tape player, and I still had that message of your grandfather's on a 7-inch reel, and I loaded that thing, and I turned it on. I sat there in my study in my house, and I listened to your grandfather preach that same message that I'd heard in 1969, and I listened to it with the attitude that I, like I had never heard it before, because I wanted it to do in me again what it did the first time I heard it. Mm-hmm. And boy, it did. I'm telling you, about 15 minutes into that message, I'm telling you, I am on my feet running in circles around my study. I mean, the Word of God was just as powerful on that tape as it was the years before. And I'm getting so excited. Next thing you know, I turn it off and I'm going through the Word again, and it's exploding in my heart. It's doing the same thing it did to me the first time I ever heard it. And you know what happened? Right in the middle of that, my telephone rings and it's your grandfather. Hey, Jerry, this is Kenneth. I said, hey, Brother Copeland, what you doing? He said, oh, I just had you on my mind wondering what you was doing. I said, I'm sitting here listening to you preach. He said, listen to me preach. I said, yeah. I said, Kenneth, I am listening to the same message that I heard you preach in 1969, and it is doing for me again what it did for me in 1969. I said, I'm so pumped up. You know, I know I got the devil right where I want him. He said, what's the name of that tape? I said, The Word of Faith. He said, as soon as you get through with that, get it over here. I need to hear it myself.
You know?
Well, what happens is, if you will determine, all right, I'm going to get in the presence of God, whatever it takes. I'm going to crave God no matter what the devil says, no matter what my circumstances say. I am not satisfied with what I've already experienced and what I already know. I'm going to crave God more than ever before. Now, between that second one and the fifth one, number three is deepen your relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. Deepen your relationship with Him. When I think of that, I think of the Apostle Paul saying in Philippians chapter 3, that I might know Him. Mm-hmm. That is a strange statement from a man that probably knew God better than anybody on the planet at that time. Some theologians say that by the time Paul wrote Philippians, that his walk with God was somewhere between 10 and 20 years. So let's just assume that it was 20 years. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written two-thirds of the New Testament. You know, I mean, he's a man that knows God. This is a man that introduces us to this new concept of the new creation, the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, redeemed from the curse. I mean, this man knows God. And yet, after 20 years of walking with God, he makes this statement, that I may know Him, that I may become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with Him. Now, that says to me that if a man like Paul, one of the greatest men of faith that ever walked the planet, and a man at this time who knew God perhaps more than anybody else, still wanted a deeper relationship, then what's that to say about you and me?
Sure.
So I would suggest, if you would like to follow my checklist of what I do between amen and there it is, get in the presence of God, hunger for God, crave God more. Number three, deepen your relationship with Him. Take on the attitude of the Apostle Paul and say, God, I want to know You.
Yeah.
I want to know You more intimately than I know anybody else on this planet. I want a deeper relationship with You. Do you think for 1 minute God would say, nah, you've experienced all you're going to experience? To me, that's got to be something that is very close to the heart of God. I mean, somebody that's saying, God, I want more of You. To me, that would be God's heart's cry, you know, that somebody would want more of Him and experience more of His presence and want to go deeper in their relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. I believe God would honor that decision.
Absolutely.
And I know He will, because I've experienced it.
Yeah.
So get into God's presence. Crave God more. Deepen your relationship with Him. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. Mm-hmm. So He's saying, you take the first step, and I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Number four, press into Jesus. What do I mean by that? There was a little woman that had an issue of blood one time in the Bible, in the Gospel of Mark. And it says that when she heard that Jesus had come into her village, she had an incurable disease. But when she heard that he had come into her village, and even though there was a multitude of people trying to touch him, and here she is, a little woman with an incurable disease. She spent everything she had on physicians, didn't get any better. And really, under Levitical law, because of the disease she had, she's considered unclean and not really supposed to be in that crowd. You know, she could legally be stoned for even coming into that crowd. But she was so desperate for a miracle, so desperate for a breakthrough in her life, that the Bible says she came into the press behind that she might touch his garment. That's what I see when I say press into Jesus. There may be a whole lot of stuff going on in your life right now that's trying to prevent you to getting closer to God. There may be a lot of turmoil. There may be a lot of frustration. There may be a lot of worry. All of that can represent, you know, a crowd, a multitude, 5,000 people standing between you and Jesus. Yeah. You know, don't you know when she walked into that village and saw that crowd, the Bible says a multitude was trying to throng him. Usually in the Bible, a multitude is a minimum of 5,000 people. So 5,000 people are trying to touch this man, and here she is standing at the back thinking, if I could just get to him, I know I'd be healed. But how do you do that? How do you get through 5,000 people and you're already weak, you're already sick, you know, how do you get to this man in those circumstances? But she pressed in.
Yeah.
She made up her mind that nothing was going to stop her, that her circumstances weren't, people weren't, frustration, you know. I wonder how many times when she tried to press in, she got pushed back.
Yeah.
Bible doesn't tell us that. I mean, you know, it just says she came in the press behind. It almost sounds like she was standing back here behind 5,000 people, and all of a sudden she's there.
Yeah.
But we know that's not what happened. I mean, I wonder how many times she got pushed back. I wonder how many times the crowd, you know, fought back and said, I was here first, you know, and what gives you the right to think you can touch him when we're all trying to touch him?
So nothing easy for
nothing
her
easy
about
this
situation.
There's nothing easy about pressing into Jesus. Satan will create everything, every negative circumstance he possibly can. He'll give you every reason why you can't do this. But you got to press in.
Yeah.
You got to be determined. You've got to outlast him.
Yeah.
Now, I know what some people are thinking right now. Well, Brother Jerry, that leaves me out because I've never been that disciplined. I've never been that kind of person. I mean, you know, I don't have much tolerance for pressure, you know. Well, neither did I. I was not that kind of person when I started. But I tell you what changed it. I got desperate for a change in my life. And I realized, I think it's John Maxwell who perhaps coined this definition. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You know, I knew that what I was doing was not working, and I needed different results. Well, to get different results, you got to do things differently. And I realized just making these excuses, I've never been disciplined, I've always been a quitter, nothing ever turns out right for me. You finally have to get fed up with those lies, and you finally have to say, wait a minute, I'm a better person than that.
Yeah.
Not only that, I'm a new creation now. I'm not doing this in my own might, my own strength. That old man is dead and gone. I've got Christ who empowers me. And you press beyond that, and you can do it. If I can do it, if Kenneth Copeland can do it, if Oral Roberts can do it, I mean, when I think of Oral Roberts on, you know, dying of tuberculosis and stuttering and can't even say his name without the other kids making fun of him. But there came a time in his life where he made up his mind, I'm pressing in. Kenneth Hagin, you know, they'd all given up on him. Preachers come to pray for him and they's praying over what the family's going to do when he dies. And he's made up his mind, I'm not dead yet, you know. And he pressed into Jesus. You know, your grandfather got fed up with being the loser that he said he was. And he started pressing into Jesus. I got fed up with this lifestyle I was living where I'm just existing when I know there's got to be more to life than what I'm experiencing. And I know the only way I'm ever going to experience is I've got to make up my mind that I'm a better person than this, that Satan does not have the right to just control my life like I've allowed him to do all these years. And I made up my mind, I'm going to press in.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is, once I made the decision and was determined to back it, God was there.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to be with you in this. He's going to assist you in this. So let me just encourage you to do what this little woman did. You press in. Mm-hmm. You make up your mind that you're going to get in the presence of God. You're going to crave God more than you ever have before. That you're going to deepen your relationship with Christ. And you're going to press into Him. And then we said number five is rekindle your desire for the Word.
Yeah.
You can't win if you're always running from the Word. You can only win when you're running to the Word. Don't ever get to the place in your life where you think you've heard enough. I've been at this 40 years, and I still can't get enough.
Yeah.
Your grandfather and your grandmother have been at it 42 years, and that's one of the things I love about them. You know, we go on vacations together from time to time. We do motorcycle trips. We do a lot of things other than just preach together in meetings. But no matter what else we're doing, you know, it may be going out to dinner. It may be a vacation time. It may be a motorcycle ride. But I guarantee you, within 15 minutes, we're preaching to each other.
Absolutely.
We're talking to work.
Oh, yeah.
Your grandmother's saying, "Oh, Jerry, I got this taped the other day by Keith Moore. I got this taped the other day."
Yeah.
You know, she and I have been tape swappers all these years.
Yeah.
You know, you give me that book, Gloria, and I'll give you this tape I heard. And it never ceases. After all these years, still can't get enough.
Yeah.
So rekindle your desire for the Word of God. Don't ever lose your thirst and hunger for the Word of God.
And the wonderful thing about this list as we're going through it, and as I was reading the book, it didn't even stand out to me then as the way it is now hearing it again, is how interlaced and connected these things are. I mean, you think about where we've still got more to go, but 1 through 5, you start in the presence of God, and it's like David in Psalm 63, "I want to see you as I have seen you."
Mm-hmm.
In the presence, what did that produce? Produced a craving for more.
Yeah.
And on down that list, they're so connected to each other.
Oh, yeah. One leads to the other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are out of time on this broadcast today.
Wow.
It goes
Praise
so fast. Don't go anywhere. Brother Jerry and I will be back in just a moment.
Times are tough. Circumstances are difficult. Maybe you're discouraged. Perhaps you're facing impossible situations. Right now, you might be feeling like there's no hope. But no matter what you're facing, God sees you as a winner. He has determined a way to help you break through and live victoriously.
When the pressure increases, that simply means you got the devil right where you want him.
Yeah.
I mean, you got him by the jugular vein now. If you can just stand your ground a little longer, then your breakthrough will come.
Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win, includes 40 years of sermons and personal experiences that will encourage and inspire you. His insights in the Word will teach you how to succeed and give you a winning strategy to face your everyday challenges. Start building up your faith and walking in victory with Jerry Savelle's book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. Order your copy of Jerry Savelle's new book, Called to Battle, Destined to Win. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This encouraging and insightful compilation of Dr. Savelle's most popular sermons is now available for only $14. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Discover the champion in you. Order Called to Battle, Destined to Win today.
You are called to battle, and you are destined to win that battle. Called to battle, destined to win, experience God's breakthrough power in your life. This is the new book by Dr. Jerry Savelle, and we want to get this into your hands. We've been discussing the concepts and the foundational truths that are in this book for days now, and
as we talk about it, it's getting deeper into me, deeper and deeper, and I know it's getting deeper into you. And there are answers in this book. There are answers through the Word of God that is in this book. And there's the ability in you right now, there's the ability to say, no, I am not giving up. And there is the ability to say, yes, I am a champion. I am an overcomer through God who strengthens me. Now, this book is for you if you're a new believer. This book is for you if you've been in this thing 40 years, 50 years, and you've walked this thing out. This is for any of us and all of us. Get a hold of this today. Now, the first step in any of this, the first step in all of this, is to say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Met with a young man not too long ago, and we were talking about some of these things, and he telling me, oh, I believe some of this, and I believe some of that. I don't know about Jesus being this and that and the other. And I looked at him, and I said, you know what? It's not enough just to say he was a good man. It's not enough. The truth is, Jesus is the Son of God. And if you've never said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, then do this right now. Stop what you're doing. Bow your head, close your eyes, and say this after me. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of my sins. I lay it all aside, and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Lord. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, you are the Son of God. Come into my life and change me forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, praise God, you are now a child of God. You are in the kingdom of God, and we want to welcome you to that. This is the best day of your life, I promise you. Now listen, my grandparents want to send you these things. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, they've got what they call the salvation package. It's just a few little books and some guides to help you study your Bible. You need to be reading your Bible. You need to get in there, find out what the Bible says, find out who God says you are. It's so important to lock into these things. Thank you so much for being a part of these broadcasts, watching today. We hope you join us again tomorrow. And this is Jeremy Pearson's and Dr. Jerry Savell reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, take the next step toward understanding who you are in Christ. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to send you 5 books free. Log on to kcm.org and request your free salvation package online today. Take hold of God's promises and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales. Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Center at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elk Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
The devil knows that he has no defense from the Word of God. In fact, Jesus said that once the Word is sown in a man's heart, what's the first thing Satan tries to do? Steal the Word. Why? Because he knows it's the Word that makes the difference.